All right, you ever met an audacious person? They just say whatever. Well, besides me, you know, say whatever comes to mind, or they do the craziest things. They're the people that your mom said, if Jimmy jumped off the bridge, would you do it? They're Jimmy, you know, and they're that person. Audacious people are people that even though they may not always make the right decisions, I kind of admire them, you know, for doing crazy things or just being audacious. One of those types of people are all of a sudden, now you guys don't get to experience this anymore, but back in the 70s, 80s, even the 90s, there would be somebody that would jump out of the stands buck naked, and they would run across the football field, and they would get on camera, and then the fat security guards would go, and they would like try to tackle them. They're chasing them. It's total entertainment. Now they pull the camera away. There are still streakers in our world, but they don't show them on camera anymore because it's inappropriate or whatever. You know, it'll make us have to wash our eyeballs out or something. But back then we didn't care. They zoned right in on them, and I think they stopped showing it after tasers were invented because it was a little dramatic for people. They just shot that guy, Mommy. I think it was a little too much, you know. But anyway, they're audacious people. They just do stuff, and they're an amazing thing. And what we're looking at here in Matthew, it's in your program, or you can look on your Bible app, and in Matthew, the 15th chapter, is an audacious woman. I mean, she jumped out. She put herself out there. And she may not have normally been really an audacious or brave type of person, but her baby girl was having issues. And so she jumped out there and did it. Do you ever notice that? Moms will do things for their children that they wouldn't normally do. Or they react in insane ways in which they wouldn't normally act when their children are involved. You know, mama bears come out and things like that, and claws, and it's a thing. Well, this gal was, her daughter was in massive trouble. Let's look here, and we'll look at this audacious lady, and she was not considered to be a noble person, a person of any reputation, or anybody of importance. In fact, we'll look at how she would have been considered kind of an outcast. And yet, the Bible records her story because of her audacity and her audacious faith. So let's look here. Leaving that place, starting with verse 21 in Matthew 15, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed, and she's suffering terribly." Now, Jesus had garnered a reputation throughout those last 3 years of being able to heal people, even some resurrections, a couple of them, and a lot of demon possession, you know, exorcisms, extractions. And we're not talking about the weird ones that you see on movies. These are the kind where Jesus shows up and says, "You get out of here," and they go that quickly. Because, you know, Jesus. And so she knew of that, and she knew of him. Now, let's get into her world just a little bit, if we can. She's a Canaanite woman, so she wasn't Jewish. Here she is coming to a Jewish person and asking for something because she'd heard of his reputation. She believed that he could do something for her, and specifically for her daughter in this situation, that she couldn't do for herself. Who knows what she'd gone through? We just hear these stories of our daughter's demon-possessed, suffering terribly, and then we'll go on the next verse. But let's get into her shoes or sandals just a little bit, and let's think about what that would be like. Have you had a son or a daughter who was suffering terribly? over anything, who just seemed to not be able to get it right, or there were people around them that were pulling them and maybe even bullying them into activities that they didn't want to be in. And you see them just continuing to suffer over and over by what they're doing and how they're living. Or maybe you've had a child like we have that was in the hospital for 3 or 4 days with a fever, and we didn't know why. Nobody knew why, and even the doctors didn't know why. Have you had that when your child was like that? I've had some people here. They've had sons, daughters. You know, they've developed cancer as children. And what does that do in your heart as a mom, as a dad? You just identify with them so much. You wish that you could even be in their place and be doing the one suffering. You wish that you would be the one at risk, but that's not the world that you're living in at that time. You're watching your son and your daughter suffer. And when we do that and when we see that, we would do anything in the world to alleviate their pain, to take away the sickness, to take away the hurt, to make it not be the way it is. Is anybody with me on that? Wouldn't you do that for your son or daughter? And here she is. She's got a daughter. And no telling what she had gone through. She was a Canaanite woman. She had probably tried to get into a temple and get somebody to listen to her, but she wasn't anybody of any importance or significance. She had to wait in line for all the people that made the real money to get through there. I'm just guessing that might have been the thing, because she was sure resorting to extreme measures here by going to this Jewish rabbi guy. Imagine that she had seen her suffer. Maybe she had gone and tried to intervene for her. Maybe she had even gone to the point of praying to the real God, to our God, for help. And over those prayers had not been answered. But then she heard that there was a Messiah. Maybe he was God's son. At least we know he's a prophet, and he has shown authority over demons. He's healed sicknesses. Let's go find him. And she was kind of from the area. He's kind of coming in. So she walks to the area where she is, which is not really a short distance. They had to walk everywhere. And so she goes to this spot, and she just puts herself out there. She doesn't go to the disciples and get an appointment. She doesn't go to anybody and ask, hey, how do I get to him? She just makes a beeline for him. She tries to find him, and she cries out, my daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. When we're going through these things, and we see, and maybe the mom had, you know, she tried everything, and now she's just desperately going to Jesus. And if that's you, you know what? We need to bring our needs to Jesus as a first resort, not a last resort. But even when we come to Jesus as a last resort, he'll hear us. Instead of waiting for life to get crazy and life to get nutty, and then finally say, all right, Jesus, I've tried everything else. Now I'm going to try you. We need to go to Jesus as our first resort. Is that like you? I'll handle this one, God. I'll take care of this. Or I just don't even think about God, or I don't think about Jesus, and I ignore him. Not necessarily intentionally, just that my default is to just try and figure life out on my own street smarts. And then finally I'm like, God. And even sometimes we even get to the point, God, why did you let this happen? And God's like, well, this is the first I've heard of it. Now, he knew about it, but it's the first he's heard of it from us, you know? Let's go to Jesus first. Let's make Jesus our first resort. Now, there's some reasons we don't do that, because we believe lies in our head, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But first resort, bring your needs to Jesus. And that's what this gal did. Now, Jesus is going to have a very un-Jesus response to this woman. So we're going to walk through that, and we're going to see why and how he's dealing with her, But one of the things that you need to understand, not part of this sermon, sometimes Jesus answers us or is silent in ways that we don't understand in order to teach us something greater. Not this sermon, but it is true, okay? You got that? That was free. You don't have to tithe on it or anything. Sometimes Jesus does that. And here he's going to seem to be very un-Jesus. Look at 23. Jesus did not answer a word. It's kind of weird. Every time you see Jesus, Jesus, do this for us. Jesus, all right, what do you want? He's always responding. But Jesus seems like he's ignoring her. So his disciples came to him and urged her. They're kind of doing Jesus a solid here. Hey, it seems she's annoying you, Jesus. So send her away. She keeps crying out after us. Truth is, she's annoying us. And he answered, Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now that's interesting. That's a very un-Jesus thing to say, seems like. Hey, I wasn't sent for you, lady. I'm a Jew. I'm a Jewish rabbi. You're a Canaanite woman. You have nothing to offer us as Jews. You have no reason to be heard even by the Jews. And here's what Jesus is doing in this process. I'll go ahead and share it with you before you get anti-Jesus too much here. Yeah, exactly. Let's go ahead and spoil it. Jesus is talking, and there are Pharisees following him and his disciples. He is saying out loud what people are thinking. There are some people that are audacious in this world that do that, and they get elected presidents because they say what nobody else will say, you know. And there are some things they shouldn't say that they do, but that's not part of this deal, okay? So, all right, let's move on. So here she is, and she keeps on talking. She keeps on answering. And Jesus says, I'm here for the lost sheep of Israel. And she knows she doesn't worship the true God. She doesn't follow him. She doesn't keep the laws. She doesn't do anything that is... She probably smokes and chews and goes with dudes who do's. I mean, she's not the type of person. She's not Jewish at all. She's the wrong ethnicity. She's the wrong religious group. She's the wrong everything, all of that. And true enough, Jesus, we saw just a couple of weeks ago, sent out all of his disciples. And he said, first, go to the lost sheep of Israel. Go to these Jewish villages. Go only to those places and speak to them first. And so some of these guys got in mind because Jesus asks them to do something one time in a situation. Well, that means that that's prescriptive for the rest of all time. And it was the issue. The number one issue of the early church is this. Can Jews be saved? We already know that. Are you the Messiah of the Jews? Yes, you are, Jesus. These are the Christians. Can the Gentiles be saved? I don't know. They need to kind of be Jews. And that was how they read the scriptures or how they interpreted and how they thought. The Messiah is for the Jews. He's not for anybody else. Now, thank God Jesus dealt with some of that in this passage, and then Paul taught about it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't have a heavenly destiny, if you will. But here, these guys are thinking that way. And it's not that they had developed prejudice just in their lifetime. It's that their entire culture had developed prejudice about this over hundreds and hundreds of years. Jesus was the Messiah of the Jews. There was promised a Messiah, and God set aside a group of people, Israel, and their job was to be a light to the nations. But especially over the 400 years between the Old and New Testaments, they had developed a great deal of a prejudice and a mentality that we are the chosen people
not for a task, not to be a light to the nations, but because we're special to God and God only wants us. Guys, lies. And there are Christians who believe that kind of thing. We're special. We're the only ones that God has picked. And why we're so special? God, Jesus, came for everyone. Jews, and Jesus is showing here, Gentiles too. And by the way, the chances that you're a Gentile are about 100% in this room. Maybe a couple of you are Jewish by background. We wouldn't be included. And this Canaanite woman comes, and the mentality of all of these followers of Jesus, his disciples, even, it's Jewish, 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 Jewish. And this Canaanite woman, person who worships other gods, a person who doesn't follow the commandments, doesn't really care, comes to Jesus and she's asking for something. I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And this is one of the lies that we tell ourselves when it comes to talking to God, praying to God, asking from God. We say, I'm not important enough to ask from God right now. I'm just not important enough. I mean, it's just me. God's got a whole lot to do. God's got a whole lot of people to listen. You know, there's the Mother Teresa's and the Billy Graham's of the world type people that are really special and super spiritual, and that's who God really wants to talk to. Let me share a theological term with you. Baloney! I could say other things, but then I'd have to repent. Baloney, guys. Baloney. Jesus says, come to me. Ask. Seek. Knock. Speak. Ask of me. Talk to me. Share your needs with me. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too big that I can't handle. Nothing is too small that I don't care about it. I'm not, we think in our mind, listen, this is going to be harsh. Deal with it. We think in our mind we're being humble. Oh, well, it's just little me. When in actuality, we're being prideful because we're being disobedient. God says, come to me, ask, seek, knock, request, pray, talk to me, seek me, come to me. And we say, oh, well, you know, I'm just not important enough. God's got other things. I'll just handle this myself. That's pride, guys. That's not humility. It's false humility. God says, come to me. Talk to me. Speak to me. Share with me. You are important enough. I will hear you. I only came to the lost sheep of Israel. That's exactly what the disciples are thinking. That's exactly what everybody else around him is thinking. But it's kind of like the Old West. It's not what you say. It's what you do that matters. So we're going to see what Jesus does here. She just keeps on and keeps on. And again, that's not part of the sermon today, but she has a persistent prayer. And we need to be persistent prayers and continue in prayer. And if you want a sermon about why God doesn't answer prayer and how we should be persistent in prayer, I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Go to churchbythefort.com and listen to it. I won't make you listen to it again. But this woman just keeps coming to him, keeps asking. She will not stop because her baby girl's life is literally at stake. So the woman, finally, they said, tell her to go away. And Jesus said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. He basically said, no, or go away, or I won't hear your prayer, or your prayer doesn't matter. She won't take no for an answer. She comes and she kneels before him. She was just asking. She was just being a nuisance. He says, I've only come for the Jews and your Canaanite. She comes and she kneels before him. Lord, help me, she said. And then he does it again. This is so un-Jesus. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Dogs, in the Jewish mindset, dogs were not good things in the Israel's mind. Dogs were good for a couple of things. Licking sores, they were good for that. Eating trash, they were good for that. Licking dead people, that was basically what dogs were for. You didn't pet a dog, all right? They could be rabid, but more than anything, they would bite you. Don't, if you ever go on mission internationally, listen, folks, don't pet the dogs, all right? America's weird, all right? Dogs are not cool most other places. You go to Mexico and you go on mission, there are some people that have domesticated dogs. You can go into their house and you can pet them. But if you see a random dog, don't pet the dog or try to deal with it, all right? It will not be good for you. That's the way that dogs really are thought of, even in the world today. But we've got ourselves all messed up about cute puppies and stuff like that, all right? We do. And I have two dogs and I like one of them. So, I mean, I get it. I get it. We got a bird. So we got this puppy. This is not part of it. I'm early, so we got this bird, and we rescued the bird because it was at Rosa's Tortilla Factory, and it was huddled up, and Will rescued it, and I didn't want that thing. But we took it over to PetSmart and bought it a cage. We got him a really nice cage this week. See, now I like it. And so we got him a really nice cage, but the reason I like it, we've got this lab puppy mutt thing that I kind of like okay, but not really. And so she just fixates on this bird. The bird drives her nuts. She wants to eat the bird so bad, but it's in a cage. So she sits there all day and looks at it and is just tortured by the bird's existence. So I like the bird now. Oh, boy. All right. We were talking about something. We're talking about dogs. Dogs not cool. Dogs filthy. Dogs dirty. And they would even call someone who was not a Jewish person, not a religious person, they would call them pejoratively dogs, all right? So Jesus uses the pejorative term. It's almost like he calls her the N-word, okay? Almost. Not quite, almost. All right. It's not, you're like, whoa, really? Yes, that crazy. It's not right to take the children's bread, the Jewish folks, and give it to the dogs, the non-Jewish folks. It's exactly what they're thinking here. Jesus is just saying it out loud. And it's so un-Jesus. Isn't this the weirdest Jesus thing you've ever heard? Watch what he does here. She says, "Yes, Lord, it is." She agrees with him. She humbles herself to that. She is self-deprecating even. But even the dogs eat crumbs from the master's table. Just give me a little bit of what you got. My daughter's suffering here. Please. And sometimes when we come to Jesus, we come with this attitude. This is another lie. One is I'm not important enough. Another one is that's just more than I should ask for. And again, it seems like humility. Well, I shouldn't ask for that. Now, true enough, don't ask for a Ferrari because there are Bible verses about that. But that's just more than I should ask for. It's just little old me. You're not little old me. Didn't we talk about that last week? You're not just somebody. You're not just a teacher. You're not just a Chick-fil-A worker. You're not just a truck driver. You're not just a pastor of a small church, although, by the way, we're not really a small church in the grand scheme of things, but you're just a pastor of a church and movie theater. You don't even have a building. Ugh, who are you? You know? I think it's cool, so I don't care what they think. But I'm not just anything. You're not just anyone. You're a child of God. You're a precious daughter and a son, and you have inherited all that God has in this universe together with all of everyone else. It's not more than you should ask for. And this woman audaciously asked for what she needed, what she wanted on behalf of another person. She asked for all of it audaciously. And that's what Jesus says. Why don't you have? Because you haven't asked. Sometimes it's just the people that are audacious enough to ask that gather the attention and get opportunities. And some people, well, I'm an introvert. This is not part of the sermon either, but in your job and in your work, well, I'm an introvert. Get over it and go stand up for yourself and share what God has gifted you to do, all right? Go get yourself a promotion. Quit being a weenie and step out there and tell somebody you want the job promotion. Go do it. Be audacious. And I'm an introvert. Nobody cares. Get over it. Go. Do it. Not part of the sermon, but anyway, do it. That is your work improvement process or preaching for the day. All right? So move on. She just audaciously comes and asks. She audaciously comes, and it's more than she should ask for. You want to talk about somebody who really isn't worthy? She kind of wasn't. She didn't really, Jesus really didn't have any reason to answer her prayers. She wasn't religious. She wasn't really following him. She just wanted something. She wasn't really following the commandments. She really didn't have, she really wasn't worthy. And yet Jesus responds to her, and he gives her what she asks. Even dogs eat crumbs from the master's table. Just give me a little bit. I know you can. And she asks. Well, watch this. Then Jesus said to her, hold on, before you do this, Jesus has just said, I've only come for the Jews. And then he's turned around and he builds on it and says, listen, it's not right for me to help you out. I'm here for the Jews. I'm here to give them my best. I shouldn't take from them and give to you. And then she says, well, even we eat a little bit of the crumb. So Jesus has just pretty much dissed her out big time, but she just keeps coming. And Jesus is probably getting a couple of amens. I only came to the lost sheep of Israel. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen, Rabbi. And then he says, you know, it's not right for me to take from the children and give to the dogs. Amen, Jesus. Whew. I know somebody need to hear that sermon right now. Amen. So what he's about to do is shocking. He's just kind of preached to the choir and gone with them and identified with them. And then she turns and she says, please give me just your crumbs. Then Jesus said to her, verse 28, woman, you have great faith. Here she was. You're just a dog. Yeah, ain't that right? Woman, you have great faith. She just leapfrogs everybody. Because what Jesus cared about was, do you believe in me? Do you believe? Do you have faith? Do you trust me? Woman, you have extraordinary faith. You really believe. And he counted that as more valuable than all of the religious stuff that all the other people were doing. Wow. You have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Not because she was a good follower, not because she kept the commandments, not because she did anything to get to God, because she can't. And that's the point of Jesus. You can't get to him. You can't be good enough for him. You can't acquire enough religiousness for Jesus to go, cool. You know why? Because Jesus doesn't give a flying flip. What he cares about is, do you believe in me? Do you trust me? Are you in me? Am I in you? And then God will clean you up and God will work with you and God will grow you and all that good stuff. I'm not saying morals don't matter, guys. That's stupid. They matter immensely. All the laws are still there. What Jesus says is, don't try to do those to get to me. Get to me, and I will show you how to follow me and live. We often think backwards. I'm going to get to God. I'm going to really do good today. I'm going to really get it done today. I'm going to really follow Jesus today. I'm going to be a good Christian today. And then 5 minutes later, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, if we go to him, but often we don't even do that. It's not that. It's not, I'm going to be. The problem with all of those things is what? Eye trouble, right? Eye problems. I'm going to be a good Christian. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do the right thing today. I am going to be who God wants me to be today. You've already stepped out in the wrong spot. It's not that you're about to sin, it's you've already sinned. You're trusting in you. Jesus says, come to me. Believe me. Trust me. Then I'll show you how to live the Christian life. I will walk with you and empower you to live how you need to live. I will live with you and my spirit will be in you and you can know the way to go. Does that make sense, guys? It is not what you were taught, but it is what the Bible teaches you. Believe, trust, faith in Jesus first and only. And then all of these things will come to you because Jesus will give them to you and Jesus will empower you. You are important enough. You are valued enough. Come to Jesus. It's not too much to ask. You're not unworthy. You're not anything. Jesus makes you worthy. He says, just come to me. Well, one day when I get myself together, I'm going to start coming to church. Dumb. Come to Jesus. Come be in him. Come live in him. And then he'll deal with all of those things. You try to keep doing it your own way, you're going to be tired. You're going to be burdened. You're going to be overwhelmed. And more importantly, you're going to fail completely. Because that's not the real Christian life. The real Christian life is trusting in him, coming to him, audaciously asking of him. In fact, it's in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read it here. I have it somewhat memorized, but I want to make sure I get it right. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, with audacity, if you want to make it our sermon today. It's the right word. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Yeah, God is big. Yeah, God is powerful. Yeah, God is the great God of the universe, created everything. He is the big everything of all the universe. Yes, he is. And that means that he's powerful enough to take care of your needs and help you to do what you need to do and live through you and give you all that you need. But he says, come to my throne of grace. Yeah, I'm sitting on a throne, but you're my baby child. You're my baby girl. You're my little boy. Come on. Come on. That's the way it is. You ever see that? Presidents on the phone, talking on the phone, little kid playing under his desk, just playing cards or whatever. Daddy, you can talk to him. Why? Because it's his kid. Kid has all access. Now, kid can't push the red button and bomb Russia. That would be bad. But he can go to dad. Dad's still on the throne. Dad's still running the place. But he's just dad to me. I got cracked up. Eli is praying. Lord, help Pastor Timbo to bring a great message today. Huh? Could have said dad. Because that's what I am. But I'm like, oh, wow, I got promoted from dad to, or I mean, I got demoted. I don't know what happened to me, but it was weird to hear my son call me pastor, you know? Why? Because I'm just dad. And he's son. I'm dad. And that's what dad says. Heavenly Father says, come to the throne. You are important enough. It's not more than you should ask for. You're not bothering me. It's not too big. Come. All right, let's pray. Father, we ask now and today, you as our Father who loves us, who cares for us, we ask you, Lord, to hear our prayers. Many of us have extraordinary needs. Some of them are our own needs. Some of them are our needs of our parents. Some of them are our needs of our children. Some of them are needs of those that we're around, that are working around us, that we care about. And you've put us here as ambassadors, missionaries in this place, residents of heaven, foreigners, but walking here among people. And Lord, we pray that those things that are of this world will not distract us and pull us and overwhelm us emotionally, to keep our minds from the fact that you are our great God and you're on the throne. And Lord, we want to come to you as our first resort. And Lord, we thank you that you have made us important in your eyes to come to you, and you've asked us to ask of you. So we bring our needs to you right now. We bring our desires to you. We bring our hurts. We bring our children. We bring our parents. We bring our lives to you. And Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. What we do right now, Lord, is we just audaciously, crazy kind of faith you, trust you, believe you. And we come before you on our knees, Jesus. Have mercy. Help us. And we come to you right now, and we seek you, and we ask, Lord, provide for our needs, take care of these hurts, begin to heal us, walk with us. We commit ourselves to you. Grow us and make us like you. More than anything, Lord Jesus, make us like you. Conform us into your image. Renew our minds so that we can be as you are, and we can follow you well. But most of all, we can follow you dependently. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, if you're on